Before we have our reading, I just want you to picture the scene. You've climbed those creaky stairs. You've pushed open the heavy door, and you've walked in to a dimly lit room. As you enter it, you sort of smell the air of fear that's all around. You see just kind of the far side of the room that there's a table. And there are people sitting around the table. You notice that it's your friends, your closest mates, and they're nervous. You see it etched on their faces. You walk past Thomas. He looks tense. Your eye then tracks across, and you see Philip, and he's anxious. You can just tell it. And then you sit down just next to Peter. Peter passes you some bread and then some wine. And as you eat it and as you drink it, you look at all your other disciples around the table, and you see that they're all looking to Jesus. Their eyes are transfixed on that man, Jesus. And your eye, it's pulled, it's gravitates towards Jesus. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? And then Jesus stands, and he takes off some of his clothes. He wraps a towel around him. He goes to the corner of the room and finds a bowl, fills it with water, and then walks back to the table where you're sitting down and walks up to you, kneels down, and he washes your feet. And in that moment that he's washing your feet, you feel cleansed. You feel clean. And the tension that had been there in the room, it just evaporates in a moment. And it's wonderful. And you think, of course Jesus is doing this. Look at the humble, wonderful leader that we have. And he's washing my feet. And he washes all your friends' feet. And then he goes back and sits down. But then that tension, it just returns. And everyone is still anxious again. And again, you're wondering, what's Jesus going to do now? What's he going to say? And then Jesus opens his mouth. And he says, the one that I give this bit of bread to, he will betray me. And everyone's looking at each other. And you're all saying to each other, not me. No way, none of us. We're your best mates, Jesus. We're not going to betray you. And then he gives the piece of bread to Judas. And he looks Judas in the eyes. And he says, go and do what you've got to do. Judas takes the piece of bread. He eats it. Straight away, he stands up and leaves into the night. And what's going to happen next? Well, Jesus, he opens his mouth again. He speaks again. And the words that you hear from his own lips are words that feel like they've come from his very heart. They feel words that have come from the deepest recesses of Jesus, God the Son's own heart, as he speaks to you. And what we're going to read in just a moment are those words, the words of Jesus with his closest mates in what's called the upper room, the hours before he goes out, is arrested, crucified, and rises again. We're going to spend not just today thinking about those words on one evening. We're going to think all term leading up to Easter about these words, the last words of Jesus to his closest friends. And they're words that there's a 17th century minister, a guy called Thomas Goodwin, a little sort of personal hero of mine, and he said that of these words, they are a window into the heart of our Savior. They are powerful, breathtaking, inspiring words for us to listen to now. And we're going to receive from them. And let me pray as we have them read to us, and then as we hear them preached as well. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you. We love who you are and what you did in sending Jesus for us. And Father, we pray now that you would still our hearts as we listen to the heart of our Savior. Please speak to us powerfully. Please change us. Please transform our hearts and our minds and our lives and our wills and our emotions and affections by Jesus' own words. And so we pray for that as we read and as we hear your word preached. We pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen. So if you pick up your Bibles, Sheila's going to bring us our reading.
The Bible reading is on page 1081 of your pew Bibles, and it's taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, you will disown me 3 times before the rooster crows." Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Sheila, thanks very much for reading for us. Now, there's a picture, should be on the screen behind me, of a pub. There it is. This is the Jester Pub. Well, it was. It's on Grove Road in Cockfosters, North London. In April 2013, the Jester Pub closed its doors to the public. It was unwanted, and it quickly became deserted. But then in March 2018, 35 firefighters and police were called out to the Jester Pub, now up in flames. And then the roof, under all the flames, the roof collapses. Over time, the site becomes a dumping ground, a bit of a fly tipper's dream. And today the pub is in exactly the same condition. That was just taken a year or two ago, because I spent 3 years living on the same road as this pub. That's my photo. I spent day in, day out for 3 years walking past that pub, walking past the eyesore on the top of our road, seeing every day the sad reality of somewhere deserted, somewhere neglected, somewhere totally abandoned. Now, it is just a pub. But I realized that it was a picture of how I sometimes felt. It was a sort of visual reminder of what was going in my heart, especially during COVID. Neglected, abandoned, deserted. And as you look at that picture, are there times in your life, maybe in the past, maybe now, where that picture might reflect what's going on in your own heart? Do you know something of that, of being abandoned, deliberately or not? Maybe trivially, or quite significantly in your life. And maybe very painfully. If you do, you'll know it's one of the worst human experiences that we could go through. But it is an experience that Jesus has also been through. With his arms stretched out on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? And so feeling abandoned by God, surely that is the worst emotion that we could ever feel. A sense of being deserted, neglected. God feels far off, feels like Jesus has just left you alone and abandoned you right now. Maybe you felt that in the past. Maybe you're feeling that now. Maybe you know someone close to you feeling that. You see, you might feel abandoned by God, let's say, in your body. It's the debilitating illness you've got, or the diagnosis, or the declining health. Has God deserted me? Maybe you feel abandoned by God in your mind. It's that darkness, the doubts, the devastating exhaustion that you're going through day in, day out. And they seem stronger and closer than Jesus does at the moment. Or maybe you feel that abandonment spiritually. You feel like your faith is dry, in a kind of dry, dusty desert at the moment. And you look at everyone else and feel that even more. You don't feel very connected, close to Jesus right now. You might feel abandoned by God for many other reasons that you might be recalling right now. Feeling abandoned by Jesus, if you're feeling that now, is awful. It is truly awful. But you're not alone. The disciples in the upper room, in that dimly lit room, they felt it too. Jesus said to them, we had it in our reading, verse 33 of chapter 13, my children, Isn't Jesus so tender with them? He says, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I'll tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I'm going away. I'm leaving you, and you cannot follow." The disciples, they felt abandoned. "It's not what was supposed to happen, Jesus. You're not supposed to leave us. We've left everything to follow you. This isn't how the story's supposed to end. We're supposed to stay together forever." But abandoned is how they're now feeling. And Jesus says these breathtaking words to them at the beginning of chapter 14. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled." You see, these disciples, they've just heard Jesus saying to them that he's leaving, that he's going, and they're overwhelmed. They're deeply troubled. They feel abandoned by Jesus. But the thing is, Jesus knew that trouble himself. He's not telling them to do something that he doesn't know and do himself. In chapter 12 and then in chapter 13, Jesus describes that his heart and his spirit is deeply troubled by what Judas is about to do. And then he is going to feel trouble beyond trouble, abandonment beyond abandonment, as he leads out from that room and hangs on a cross the next day. He will experience abandonment on a level that no one else ever has. So Jesus knows trouble. He's in the midst of that trouble and that feeling of abandonment. But our Savior's heart is so wonderful because he doesn't, in this moment, want his disciples to comfort him and say, "Look, guys, do you know what I'm going to go through for you? Now's the time for you to give me the tissue." He doesn't at all. Instead, he's always focused on them. He sees how they might need to be comforted because of their troubled heart. And so he comforts them. Jesus says, "I am the wonderful counselor," to his close friends. "You're troubled, you're feeling abandoned, but let me calm you. Let me comfort you. Do not let your hearts be troubled." And so we ask, how? How, Jesus, will their hearts be troubled, be calmed? And Jesus answers the rest of verse 1, chapter 14, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus says, "You trust God. You've put your faith in him. Now do the same with me. Trust me. Have faith in me. Stake your life upon me. Depend on me with everything you've got. Trust me with your troubled heart. Trust me with feeling abandoned." And Jesus could have stopped there. He could have finished chapter 14 there, and we spend the rest of our time thinking about what it means to trust Jesus for the troubled heart, for the feeling of being abandoned. But Jesus doesn't leave us there. Instead, he knows that we sort of want more, and so he shows us this a huge reason why we can trust him with our feeling of being abandoned by God. Well, the disciples could do that with their troubled heart. And it is just one word, and the word is because of home. Home. Some friends of ours were in IKEA, and they received a call. It was about 9 years ago now. They had flat pack boxes in hand, loading it onto those massive trolleys, trying to steer that trolley. It's pretty tricky. They were probably just in that moment when they received the call. Their phone buzzed, they picked it up, they answered it, and it was the call they'd been waiting for years and years and years. It was the social worker. And she said, "We've got a match for you." She's a little girl. Her mother can't look after her. She's in hospital. She's been born addicted to heroin. She's got no home to go to. Will you take her? Would you like her? And I don't know, I wasn't there, but I imagine that they dropped those flat pack pieces of furniture and their eyes streamed. And they hugged one another, and they were so joyful. They were able now to adopt a little girl she was going to be their daughter, that they were to bring her back and show her her room, her little nursery with a little cot, with her little bed, where she would have a place at the table. She would have parents, she would have a family. In a word, they were bringing her home. You see, home matters, doesn't it? Home really matters. And Jesus calms these troubled hearts, those feeling abandoned, by saying, home. Saying, you have a home. You have an eternal home, believers. Let me read John 14 and verses 2 to 3. And as I do, just listen out to how personal Jesus is here as he talks about home. Verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. I hope you didn't miss it. Did you hear that? Again and again and again. Jesus says 10 times, either I or you, let alone the my's, and that's only in two verses. I, you. You see, Jesus isn't theoretical now. He's not abstract or vague, but he's personal, he's intimate. This is from his own heart to his friends about their home. Jesus says, yes, disciples, I am leaving you, you're right. But I'm going to prepare an eternal home for you with God your Father. You'll enjoy perfect closeness and nearness with him. And I'm coming back for you as well. I'm going to return and I'm going to gather you up like a mother hen gathers up her chicks, and I'm going to take you to be there with them, with him. And we'll be there together as well, and I'm never leaving you. Home. Jesus says wonderful words from his own heart about our future eternal home. But if we're here with sort of troubled hearts, if we're feeling abandoned, I'm sure those words of home still leave us with lots of questions. We're unsure about quite a few things, when and where and what and why, just a few questions. And the disciples, they also had questions. So you're not alone. First up, verse 5, it's Thomas. Thomas has a question. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Now here's a wedding invitation I got through the post recently. First of all, when you get one of these or a party invitation, you look to see who it's from, sort of whose wedding it is. Great, it's my cousin's wedding. And then the next thing you look at is, where is it? Where am I going to travel to? What route have I got to go on to get to this wedding? Unfortunately, it's not around the corner. It's in Somerset. So then next thing I do, I pop the postcode into Google Maps. I find out the route. How am I going to get there? How long is the journey going to be? How am I going to do that with the whole family? And then you start planning out your route. Thomas asks, Jesus, show me the route. How am I going to get there? But not to a wedding, but to heaven. And that might be your question, like Thomas. Yes, I enjoy sitting here listening to all this stuff about Jesus and this stuff about heaven, but Jesus, show me how I'm going to get there. Show me the route to get to heaven. If that's you, then you've got the same question as Thomas, and Jesus answers with the most breathtaking words. Verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. He is the route, the path. There is no other way to God. Jesus says, I'm going away to prepare a home for you. Just come to me. Trust me, because I'm the way there. Trust me. And we might be asking, why would I trust you, Jesus, with this? And Jesus answers, because I am going. Did you see that word going? It came up throughout our reading. The disciples talk about his going. Jesus talks about him going. And the going Jesus is talking about is the unique path he's going to walk. The path that he walked that led him up a mountainside outside of Jerusalem, up onto the top of a hill where there was a cross standing there and that he was nailed to. Where God the Son willingly experienced abandonment from God on the cross. The sky went dark. It went pitch black for those 3 hours. Jesus experienced being abandoned by God. And why? Because he took on our sin at the cross. And that's why he faced it. Nothing because of himself. He was perfect. He was God's own son. But that's God's love, willing to send his own son to be abandoned so that we don't have to. And Jesus' going is even more than that. It's to the cross, facing that darkness, that abandonment. But it goes further. It goes to the grave. And then it goes from the grave to life beyond the grave, to life after death. And then Jesus rises again and returns to his home with his Father in heaven. In God's presence, that's where Jesus is right now. And so Jesus is going at all of those Easter events, and us trusting in him is the only way that God's eternal home of heaven can be our home, our eternal home. So how do I get to heaven? Thomas asked. Well, in effect, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And so if you've got that question like Thomas, if you're here looking into Christian things, the best advice that Jesus gives, that anyone here could give, is to say, come to Jesus. Look into him. Come to him. Read what he says. Come to him. But Thomas's question, it might not be your question. You might have other questions. Instead, you might be wondering, yes, I still feel abandoned by God. I still feel like he's far away. I feel sort of dry, and I just want to be close to God again. Jesus, I just want to be close to God again. Help me be close to God again, whether that was through kind of physically, mentally, or spiritually feeling far away from him. I just want to be close again. Well, Philip pipes up next. He asks, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Philip says, I want to feel close to God. I don't want to feel abandoned by you anymore. And Jesus says, you want to be close to God? Look at me. Look at me. Verse 9, Jesus says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Verse 10, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus is saying here, to see Jesus is to see the Father. To be close to Jesus, that God the Son, is to be close to God the Father. You see, Jesus, God, they are one God with the Holy Spirit, and we'll hear more about him next week. But God the Son was sent by God the Father to earth to reveal God the Father to us. Want to be close to God, Jesus says? Look at me. Come to me. So do you feel far away from God at the moment? Come to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because Jesus says, home. Jesus says personally to us, because I have gone and gone to the cross and through the grave, I am now with my Father in heaven. And I've now prepared a place for you, a home for you. And I'll come back. I will come back and I'll take you to be there with me forever. That's your home. So please come to me, Jesus says. Trust me. Trust me with your troubled hearts. Trust me with your feeling abandoned. I will take you home. But trusting him in that sort of that feeling of abandon, it isn't easy, is it? Our home is a sort of future thing. Maybe it's over there in the future, but I want it to make a difference now. I want it to impact me now. If you're like me, sometimes you might feel that gap between our future and our now. And you want that gap in between the two to reduce. You want what's happening in the future to make a difference now. And I think, if you're anything like me, these verses have really helped me this week to close that gap, to see how powerful our future home is and what a difference it makes now. I'm also no marathon runner. Some of you might be marathon runners. But just imagine you're at the start line about to run a marathon and someone turns to you, they get out their phone and they show you a video. And it's a video of the finishing line and you crossing it and someone putting the medal around your neck. If you had that little video, that's going to make all the difference to how you run the race. Yes, you're going to get those cramps. Yes, you're going to get awful blisters. But it's going to mean you keep going. Even if it's hard, you're going to keep going to the end because you know how the race finishes. You know the end. And that makes a difference with the now, with running that race. The end changes absolutely everything. Hear what Jesus says later on. We'll read it in 3 or 4 weeks' time. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says these wonderful words, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." It is a precious verse. It acknowledges that we do face trouble, that we do feel abandoned, but that isn't the end of the story. Jesus has overcome the world. He's got home ready for you and for me. That's the end of the story, our future home. And so now we can take heart. We're not abandoned. The end of the story, it changes absolutely everything. In a moment, we're going to sing a new song. The song is called Take Heart. If you were here at our praise night a few weeks ago with the 20 Schemes guys, they taught it to us. And we'll sing it. And it is a wonderful verse, wonderful song based on that verse I just read. And in it we'll sing this precious line, "Joyful ending to the story." So we take heart. We take heart. And that's what we want to live out, isn't it? Joyful ending of the story that makes a difference now. We know how the story ends. We know home, our true future home, and that changes our perspective now. There will be a day with no troubles, with no feeling abandoned, and those feelings, they'll be impossible in our future home. They won't exist, and so we just want to say a huge thank you, Jesus. I've had the privilege this week of hearing from some in the church family about the ending of the story, our future home. These are people who are struggling physically, mentally, spiritually. And hearing how joyful the ending of the story is for them and what difference it makes in their lives now is absolutely breathtaking. It simply is inspiring for someone who might see the future, something kind of distant, and what difference does it really make? Hearing from people who are suffering and finding it hard, physically, mentally, spiritually, makes a massive difference. And so let's talk to each other. If you're here and you're feeling that gap, talk to each other, because you'll find people here that know the future and know what a massive difference it makes today. So do you have a troubled heart? Are you feeling abandoned? For whatever way, or come to Jesus. Look to Jesus. See how the story ends. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus has gone to his home to get our home ready. He's made it ready. He's coming back to take you, to take me there. And that is the joyful ending of the story. And that is great news. So we can take heart. And let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the joyful ending of the story. That means we can take heart. Thank you for Jesus and all he says and all he does to make that possible. And we pray now that you would help us, heal us, restore us, and help us look forward to that great, great day. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.